Hey, folks. Today's episode, Zach and I break down the big win over Southern Illinois, first round of the playoffs. We also talk about the attendance issues, and we address the Noah Gindorf situation a little bit. I want you guys to know that Noah had not made the announcement that he was coming back in 2022, and although we did speculate that that might be an option, we certainly didn't know anything. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Play that funky music, producer Brennan.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, Bison fans, on another Victory Monday? This is your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum, joined here in the Bison Report studios in lovely Horace, North Dakota, by our guy, number 57 in your program, number one in your hearts, Zach Willis. How are things in Bismarck?
Good, real good. I told everybody that we needed to make hay, and we made hay. So it was great to see everybody. Even had a few people told us that they knew of us because they listened on Bison Report. So shout out to them.
Love that. And now we're done making hay. I mean, we're going to continue to make hay, but we're going to stop making hay while college.
We're going to enjoy some football.
Yeah, we're going to stop making hay while FCS playoff games are going on, or at least specifically the one that's the green and gold play in.
Ross is jealous that Big Deck is taking my time. Ross wants to hang out more.
Or Ross wants his football analyst to watch the football games. One of those two.
You're going to get hard-hitting stuff here from me today.
Jesus. All right. Diving right into the news. Some unfortunate news, especially the way it happened. Cordell Volson. Look, not his fault. I don't want Cordell to think about this for another second, but kind of throws the defensive lineman finishing a block, ends up rolling up on Noah Gindorf, was first called an ankle, have heard potentially, and I actually had a fib-tib compound fracture when I was a senior in high school. I think fibula break is what we've heard, or tibia break, one of the two, and that... You know, he's going to have surgery on Wednesday.
Yep.
I think your most optimistic timeline on that is going to be Frisco.
Yeah. And it's going to, I mean, that's a race to that finish line.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, you know, it just sucks because the nature of how our offense is built, the tight ends are in the package close to the offensive linemen. So,
yeah. And we'll have to talk to about this as well. And I'm going to point it out. I've got, going to do the film review piece probably right away Tuesday morning, because I've got some, and there's still, oddly enough, and I think it has to do with just what was going on in the rest of college football, but we've already got all the Pro Football Focus college stuff from this game. We just don't have it from South Dakota. Otherwise, they'd be completely caught up.
Sure.
Outside of that, though, you would not believe with as much as was kind of made of you know, how deep they were at tight end.
Yeah.
How heavy it is, Babich and Gindorf and Stoffel.
Yeah.
And after you get to Babich, Gindorf, Stoffel, it's off a cliff from just how many snaps these guys have played. And I'm not saying that they don't have other guys that can play. I'm just saying that they've chosen to roll with 87 and 81 a ton.
Yeah, I think that's just more of a factor of how good those two are.
For sure.
And, like, yeah. it's like why would you take them off the field? And we've seen this so many times in Bison football, is that this is when guys start to emerge and really make their claim, as far as Stoffel stepping up and being like, I'm going to be the next Gindorf. You know, Yonke stepping up. All these guys that we always talk about, this is their time to shine.
Yeah, Yonke is the guy for me, just because he coming out of Parker's Prairie, I mean, he was a big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the kid that has already done his redshirting, has been a part of things. And I know they can use Lipke there, and I know they can do a bunch of things, but I think Yonke is a guy that just has to step up at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's next man up, but especially in the playoffs, it's time to show that you can be that next guy and fill that role. So it's a great time for Travis to show that he has the potential
to do that. And there's 330, 340, 360, by the end of this, maybe 400 snaps by both Babich and Gindorf that have to be replaced
right
next year.
Yep, and we'll find it anyway.
Right, I mean, it may, and this idea has been kicked around. I mean, look, there is every opportunity for, if Noah Gindorf has to miss his college all-star game, choose to come back and play a sixth year because of this injury. I'm not sure that that will happen, but it's on the table. If it doesn't happen that way, and he does continue on with the rest of his life like he had already espoused he would do, you have serious questions behind Joe Stoffel at the tight end position.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, even Joe, like, I think he has a lot to prove too, to be that second guy. I mean, obviously, if Babo comes back, I think he'll be first fiddle. It just sucks to see that from Gindy. Sure. And, you know, with the aspirations that I know he has to play ball, I know, but this whole thing, like, so much can change between everything. So I don't know what the situation is for anybody. But like we talked about, these guys have done the red shirts. There'll be second, third year guys in the program. It's time to make hay for them as well.
For sure. Christian Watson, likely a game time decision. Might not need him.
Yeah. I mean, there's a 150 pound corner on ETSU's roster. I mean, like, don't push it if you think you can get away with it.
Right.
We need Dub for the last two.
And that's what I'm getting at. They're 22.5-point favorites. I know the coaching staff will never see it that way, just because, hey, look, man, if you play ETSU 20 times and they win 19, well, you can't have that one.
Exactly.
Or the season's over.
Yeah, I mean, there's no playing around. This is win or go home. So, I mean, just to the point of, I think you can lean on other guys enough that, you know, Christian wouldn't be that game-breaking thing.
Right. So we're going to do a full, we're going to do a full signing day deal next Wednesday. I'm sure I'll be in, make me, I'm such a big deal. I'm sure I'll be on the radio somewhere. You know, someone will ask me to be on the radio for signing day, whatever.
It's just a matter of fact, nobody covers this like you do.
So. Right. So, the Bison lost offensive lineman out of Wisconsin, Ashton Beers, really had a chance to be an all-time name here, to Minnesota. And the Gophers.
I'd buy a Beers jersey.
Yeah, Gophers have been kind of getting on it. Jack Gerlach was, I think, the top-rated recruit in South Dakota State's crew. Sniped him from the Jacks. Nab Ashton Beers from the Bison. It's looking like, you know, Phil Flex, your guy.
Stop it right now. You'll never see me in the Bison Report studio ever again.
I tell you what, there are pictures willfully on social media of this guy in a Gophers hat. Major feature.
Hey, I'll say this much. The only beer better than my favorite beer is free beer. So if the Gopher fans are the ones giving it to me, I'll wear the Gopher hat.
All right. And that was a requirement. They made you put the hat on.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, you can see, you know, Minnesota trying to bat. And hey, look, man, this has happened before with Cole Keefe, Chase Allen, my heart, Felix Anadike, and even Riley Moss. You,
right.
If Matt had his way, signing day would be July 15th. I mean,
it really is a scary thing. And I think a lot of that was pressure from the FCS schools to move signing day up to this December period, because I signed in February. That's even more time for these guys to get film out, recruiting doesn't stop after a verbal commitment.
And I would say this, honestly, if I, not that I want it to happen, if I'm Iowa State, Minnesota, or Nebraska, Wisconsin.
Why wouldn't you?
If I am losing any kids, I am immediately checking out what North Dakota State and, to a lesser extent, South Dakota State have going on.
We're better than those programs. Why wouldn't you look at them?
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough deal.
It's this weird ego thing that coaches and FBS schools have because look at all the great players that have come from those states, these cities that should be playing for the FBS schools in their area.
Well, not only that, but dominate. Just look at the talent ID. I mean, it's not often that you will see an NDSU commit, decommit, go to, I think, really Jaren Lewis, and that's just a quarterback situation at Kansas State. And we can get into that, by the way. Another piece of news, Courtney Messingham and Jason Ray no longer work for Chris Kleiman at Kansas State. That's maybe a conversation for a different day, but that happened as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of shocking when I heard that come through.
I'm going to get a takeoff. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I mean, folks, I understand and respect and have a ton of respect for Courtney Messingham. But people acting like he walked on water and acting like the guy that's there now doesn't have any idea. Let me tell you what the difference between Courtney Messingham and Tyler Roll really is. Senior Easton Stick and Trey Lance Walter Payton Award winning seasons.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you need to hear?
Truly. I mean,
yeah.
Look, X's and O's go a long way.
I mean,
having bad coaches is bad.
That last year that Courtney was here, I mean, talk about getting handed the keys to a Corvette, man. Like,
just don't run it off the road.
Exactly.
And I got respect for Courtney, but you have to understand, this man was let go from Iowa State and has now been let go from Kansas State. And it's a lot of just your circumstances.
Yep. For sure.
And the players that you have working for you. Anyway, that's another thing down the road. Anyway, what I was talking about earlier with talent ID is just these guys consistently that the Bison have committed, that decommit and go to these bigger schools, are often very successful at those schools. Cole Kieft catching a touchdown against Iowa in Iowa City.
Yeah.
You talk about Riley Moss, Big Ten defensive back of the year,
right.
Riley Moss.
We could have used that.
Ah, it just hurts in my soul.
Yeah.
Felix Anadike, Big 12 defensive lineman of the year as a freshman.
Is that good or bad?
It's good.
Yeah, it hurts. It's just the nature of the game.
I know,
and it sucks, but we're going to do with what we can here. But do you think Marquis Siegel couldn't have helped the Cornhuskers this year?
Yeah.
Any of these guys, all these dudes leaving.
Yeah.
No, they're ballers, and it is so unfortunate that they get ignored by schools in their home state.
It is. Let's talk about one of the elephants in the room, and your ass is part of this problem.
Oh, stop it. I don't fill a seat anyway.
You wouldn't. No,
put me in the press box.
We're joking. Zach would be in a pass. 12,557 people in the dome.
I mean, that, like, it would be a little bit of a
bad weather. Bad weather coming, more accurately.
Sure, but I mean,
yep.
There's been
yep.
sellouts during worse weather weekends. So,
yep.
12,000 is just an abysmal number. And you see the coaching staff, anybody involved with the team was tweeting out the promo today. It's like,
yeah.
What do we need to do to get this thing sold out again? I don't know what it's going to take. It's a quarterfinal game against a team that the last time we played them beat us by.
And that's what bugs me. That's one of the things. And I don't want to get too soapboxy here, people, but you know, that was one of the things that was said. Well, they win every quarterfinal game by a billion, and look what happened again. This game was over by halftime. Why should we care? Two things. First of all, you had no idea that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. This team is playing great right now, but the last time they got on a field with these guys, they got their asses kicked. They didn't get beat. They got their asses kicked.
Yeah, like legitimately embarrassed.
So the idea that you knew this was going to happen, I'm calling BS on that.
Me
I'm
too.
Having none of it.
Yeah.
And then you find out no Jasir Cox, no Will Mostart, no C-Dub, and a gimpy Phoenix.
Right.
Now there are questions for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got a big problem with that. And the other problem I have with it is just like there's always an excuse, man.
Yeah. Are you a fan or not?
Right. And
that's
and
what it comes down to.
That's, you know, because you'll hear, well, so if they're not playing well, what do we hear? Fire the offensive coordinator. Exactly. Fire this person. Fire Bench that everybody. Person. Whatever. What kind of game do you want? Do you want like to win on the last play and complain and want people fired, or do you want to win by 1,000? Because you don't apparently
and
like
then complain
about
how boring it is,
right? Like, so what's the sweet spot? Is it 10 points? Do you need a 10-point victory where you lead the whole way and then you like help me help you help exactly. help me help you?
Yeah, we hear all about how like this dynasty's over and we're not dominating games anymore, and then we dominate games and we're like, it was too boring. I can't have it. It just sucks from a student athlete perspective, to be honest with you, because we hear about all this support and stuff, and I mean, there's 8,000 empty seats in there for a quarterfinal playoff or for a second round playoff game, and it's like, what else do we need to do for you guys?
Yeah, and that's the tough part for me, is it really is, and people, yes, they have folk, they have cost of attendance, they have their school paid for. There's a lot of walk-ons on that team too that put in work behind the line. And I think Carl Benson, Oscar Benson's dad, put it on Twitter. Like, it equates to $5.25 an hour.
Yeah.
That's what these kids are getting in value. By the way, it's not cash. It's value.
Right.
And that value is given back to the community and given back to the university, not only entertainment, but it drives hotel revenue. It drives barn restaurant revenue. It drives, by the way, all those rigs, all those tents, mm-hmm. all that food, all that liquor, somebody paid for that.
There's a reason Fargo is the boom town in the Midwest right now, and a lot of it has to do with Bison football.
So it's just a way to give back to the student athletes. And here's the argument that I guess I will hear. And I will say this, and I've had this conversation with people on Twitter. $35 for a sideline, or $35 for an end zone seat, and $45 for a sideline seat is expensive. If you, like, for example, I have a daughter who technically is under two, so she wouldn't count. But if I was going to the game and I had to bring my four stepchildren to the game, my wife and myself, and I wanted to sit where my family sits on the sideline, I mean, you are talking about $270 just in tickets, 45 times six.
Sure.
That is a commitment, especially when James wants Dippin' Dots and right. Quincy wants a water and Abby wants this and whatever. And like, I do understand that part of it, but it is commensurate with other mid-major football and honestly other forms of entertainment. There's very little entertainment outside of maybe going to the movies, which they'll get you to.
Absolutely.
But that lasts for 3 hours, and if you tailgate, lasts for six.
And here's the thing too, I mean, beyond just the game day experience, my formidable memories were filled with going to the Fargo Dome and hanging out. There's so much more that it means to people than, and especially young kids that just take them to the game for those 6 hours if you take them tailgating. But I mean, everybody talks about ticket prices, and like, I was still paying $20 for GA tickets when I was growing up. Like, it's not that much more expensive. Yeah. So I understand if you're bringing a whole squad, but I mean, how many people go as single tickets? How many people are going as couples? It's not that crazy. And obviously I didn't have a lot growing up either. So I know how that commitment coming in a weekend is hard. If you're looking at $400, it's just not feasible. But I mean, like, don't sit there and give me all this other stuff about why you're not going when it has anything to do with the team other than that.
Right. And I'll say this too. I've seen, like, guys, the people, because we've even had this responded on Twitter. I've got a big, beautiful TV. I can drink beer at home. By the way, you should be able to drink beer at the Fargo Dome.
We're team beer.
And it's not that you and I are these raging alcoholics and whatever, but like, it's 2021. I can go down to Dakota Magic Casino and gamble on sports. I can drive not that far away from here and smoke weed.
You can go to other Missouri Valley schools and drink beer during the game.
You can go to Grand Forks.
Right.
Grand Forks.
Yeah. Don't say that name.
Grand Forks.
Yeah, there you go. Say it lowercase.
I mean, that's a problem, and I think it would maybe help.
Absolutely.
But outside of that, I need the people that are talking about watching it at home. Cool, great, good for you, whatever. If you have tickets, please try to get rid of them.
Yeah.
The guys, I don't use my tickets. I'm a teammate. I want to be a teammaker. I have tickets. I don't use my tickets. Give them away.
And don't
tell me about them. I'll give them away. Give them to Elena Christensen for the veterans. Yeah. Give do what you can to get asses in seats, because asses in seats on third down on defense matter.
It wins games.
It causes legitimate. I mean, 5 yards is 5 yards.
Absolutely.
The offense's inability to communicate is the offense's inability to communicate. This has real points on the scoreboard type stuff effects on this game. And ultimately, just to be frank, the student athletes deserve it.
Yeah, it goes into so much more as far as, like, if you are getting rid of tickets, don't be that guy charging double face value.
Yeah.
Get whatever they are out of them. Get people in the seats. I mean, and especially as a guy who played when people were leaving, the stadium was never empty. But hearing them cheer when we scored during garbage time, man, that meant more than anything else. Sure. You know what I mean? So it's just a little bit of a token of gratitude for what we do, put in, day out. We want to win because we're a team. It wouldn't matter if we played in a parking lot. But I'm saying is it's a nice little appreciation when you guys come in, fill it up, 19,000 yelling, screaming for four quarters.
Yeah. All right. Enough on that.
Made me all emotional.
Give me big dick stuff.
I just can't even like express all the gratitude for everybody that's been supporting us from Bison Report, our friends at Bison 1660 since we started working.
Rush the deck.
Hey, we had a winner this week. He's getting a free pack.
Love that.
Shout out Eric. So, you know, we're still selling gift packs. Those are available till the 10th. $50, free shipping, gift packaging.
Promo I take code that Ross.
Take that back. Not free shipping, but promo code Ross.
Promo code Ross.
That's how you know you're big time, and I love you. You got your own promo code.
Promo code Ross.
Ross hasn't used it, by the way.
That's in my deal. I don't pay for barbecue sauce.
No, but we got the gift packs going. We'll cut off orders by the 15th. Everything's going to be out the door. As far as that goes, you'll have it by Christmas. That hard to shop four person's good to go if you come to BigDeckBBQ.com.
All right, producer Brennan, wake up. We had some interesting stuff, I thought, at the press conference. Matt and I had a couple of good conversations. He was in a good mood today. Yeah. Always like when the head coach is in a good mood.
You get that Coach of the Year award.
Yeah, absolutely. Brennan, hit the tight end replacements drop, because I'm interested to see, or I'm interested to share with people what he said about all that.
Been pretty light. Would you anticipate anybody we haven't seen a ton of moving to that role, maybe more Hunter in that role?
You could potentially see Hunter in that role a little bit. You know, the name that you've left off and understandably is all the Ogre snaps that we've taken this year. And so there is that way to go through and replace some of those snaps with another extra offensive lineman if we feel like we need to. I know there's been a game or two that we've dressed Mason Miller in number 88 and then changed jersey later in the game to allow him to play tackle. So that is another alternative right now.
All right, I thought that was interesting. You know, yeah. I don't think you're going to see, like we were talking about in the press box when C-Dub wasn't going to play, do you dust off Bryce Lance just for funsies?
Yeah, I mean, you could still use his four throughout the playoffs if
he
stays.
Right. I don't think you're going to see Finn Diggins, you know, anything like that, any of the true freshman guys.
You got to be a real horse to play as a freshman there.
Yeah.
I mean, just
the, horse.
Horse. But I mean, just the mental part of it, it's so hard to play tight. I've told this to everybody. It's underrated how much those guys have to absorb, and they take a lot on their shoulders. As far as the trade shift motion, what different route combinations are, how blocking schemes work, and how it's different if the whole formation is different. So it's hard to stick a young guy in there, but I'm an offensive lineman. Yeah. I love seeing six offensive linemen on the field, even if he's wearing 88.
For sure. No, Mason, and honestly, you know, I've said it, I thought they were really effective with it. No disrespect, Jacobus. I love the Cordell guard package with Mason Miller. Mason Miller's playing some nasty football right now.
Yeah, he's mini Cordell. I'm telling you, people are going to fall in love with him when he steps into a starting role, because he's literally Cordell's little brother.
Speaking of that offensive line, play Matt's comments and our kind of discussion on the offensive line, please.
You mentioned it before, using the word simplification, and I don't want you to get into like hand placement and stuff like that with the offensive line, but this looks like such a different group after Brookings. I mean, now for 3 60-minute periods, what are these guys doing so much better than they were before? Why are they having the success that they're having? Because they,
no, I appreciate that. And again, I'm not trying to sound redundant, Ross, but less is more right now with these guys. And we've really honed in on what they're good at. Rather than trying to add, we've subtracted a little bit, but that's allowed us to expand what we're doing. We may run a very similar run play or scheme, but do it out of 10 different formations now, is how we've tried to, rather than having multiple schemes and minimal formations, if that makes sense to you. But I think we've just, you know, simplified things. Again, you're talking about that's almost 6 weeks ago now. There's been 6 weeks of practice, too, leading, you know, since then. And so these kids work hard. You know, that's never in doubt. The energy, and Coach Larson continues to do a great job with them. And I think just putting our kids in the right situation and asking them to do things that their skill set will allow has been effective for the last couple, 3 weeks.
Let's get into this, because that's like, this is something we've talked about a little bit. And, you know, on the surface,
yeah,
you look at this team and you're like, well, shoot, you know, Jalen's played games.
Yep.
Nash, Cody, and Cordell have played games. Kubis on games.
Was contributing last year before surgery.
Yeah. So you're thinking to yourself, why are you having to simplify anything for these guys? I mean, these guys should have a mastery of how to work together. You know, Nash and Cody taking all those snaps. Cordell has to know all five spots on the line by now, golly. Yeah. And, you know, Jalen moving into a second full season as a starting center. Explain what he's talking about with simplification and why it's worked with this group.
Yeah, I mean, just in the fact that when you're playing instinctually, you play fast. But when you add parts that make you have to think, then you start to play slow. Your feet stop. You're starting to process what's going on the field. If you know how it's going to play out because you have one thing to do on this play rather than looking at 14 different things going on, you can cut it loose and play fast. And I think that's what's starting to happen. I mean, darn near 400 rushing yards against a quality opponent. The boys are starting to roll. Because there are offensive line groups who do process stuff better when there's more technical and rules for if this looks like this, then what does that mean? I think this is a group that's just going to line up and maul you, and I think they're finally cutting them loose to let them be able to do that.
So my understanding of what Coach means when he says less scheme, more formations, not more scheme and fewer formations is like, okay, well, we're going to run power, but we're going to run power out of 5-6 different personnels, 5-6 different formations, whether we've got the Maryland eye,
yeah,
or whether we've got a fullback and a sniffer, or whether we're just running it.
We ran QB power out of 11 personnel last year.
Sure. We're going to run duo, but we're going to run duo out of 5-6 different sets. That's what he means.
Yeah, it's just because defenses are built to take away one thing, and certain schemes like the Youngstown State, South Dakota States of the world are built to take away power. So you see a lot more of zone schemes when we're playing against them. So it's all those game planning. And you say, if you have four plays and we'll build off of those throughout the entire game plan, that's heaven for an O lineman, because you're like, I have to worry about learning those four plays for this week. Then it just allows you to play faster. And when you're playing fast on the O line, you play violent. When you play violent, you win football games.
And I'm sure that they've got to feel like Quincy is finally healthier. He must feel somewhat better, because at this point now they've gotten comfortable with the Quincy package. And that was something that I thought was really interesting. And we'll talk about it in a second. But producer Brennan, please play that little part of our conversation now.
Why, I guess, when you do have the Quincy package in, why is Cam split out wide? Why not throw another receiver out there? Is that a ID thing for the opposing?
I think it just causes some stress. How are you going to treat? You going to treat him as truly Wildcat? You going to treat him as quarterback? Or what does it do? How does it affect you? And so that's all we're trying to see is, do people, like we said, when all of a sudden, if Quincy's lined up behind center, are you getting a more vanilla version of what they're doing defensively? But there's plenty of snaps of him out there with two or three other receivers from the beginning of the year. So I would think it would be inaccurate if we said opponents aren't anticipating he can't throw. There's plenty of evidence out there that he can.
The third one, they blitzed the corner that was on Cam.
Yep. And good to see. You know, and some teams will, because, you know, do we really need to cover cover the corner. You know, what'd be interesting is if Cam was at quarterback and Quincy was out there, you think they'd do the same thing?
Wouldn't that be interesting? I mean, you and I have talked about the future of Quincy Patterson should he decide to stay in this program. I mean, today's day and age, everybody assumes he's not. Everybody's assuming that it's going to be Cole versus Cam in the summer and in the fall, and maybe that'll be the case. Yeah. But, you know, we've fantasized, if you will, about H-back Quincy and tight end Quincy and wide receiver Quincy and all the things that you could do with him. And that's interesting. But, man, you look at some of the looks that they're able to give. I mean, what would you call it? I guess O2 personnel. I mean, the two tight end and three receiver, no back stuff where he's empty.
Sick.
It's
funny. The Delta formation with is, I mean, the possibilities are endless. And I think it's cool to see or hear Coach Entz talk about this from a defensive coach perspective, because he's starting to formulate things where it's like, what would make it hard on me?
Yeah.
And you hear that, and like I just said, talking about the O-line, the more you think, the slower you play. So if you throw Cam or you throw Quincy out there, you better not send a cat blitz, because they could toss it over there.
Right.
Or whatever they're going to do with it. I think it's going to be real nasty. And as far as the transfer stuff, I mean, like I said, I've been supportive of the player in every situation when it comes to the transfer portal. But I would like to think that they would take care of Quincy in some sort of shape or fashion, even if he stayed for another year. I would think that they would get him reps on the football field in some way. He's just too talented to keep off the field.
And that's word for word something that Matt Entz said today at his press conference. He's too talented to stand by me on the sideline. And, and I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, but once Cole Payton's shirt is off, you can have stuff for him. I mean, that's how good, that's how talented that, we've seen him erase angles.
Three quarterbacks on the field.
Yeah, he can't, I mean, you know, I think that's a little bit extra. Not a ton to break down in a 38-7 game, so let's just get through it. You got to get going as well. The old lineman, I just thought this was a phenomenal performance. I don't know how much you had a chance to get back on, but boy, were they good. I mean, they gave up a sack, I think, in that last, I'm calling it a two-minute drill is generous. It was a 1-minute and 10-second drill with one timeout. They gave up a sack that kind of ended that. But other than that, man, they were just great.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to see when you're approaching that 400 number when you're talking about rushing yards. 389 on the day is fantastic.
Yep.
And all the guys I talked to after the game were happy. So, not very often that happens that I get good feedback from those guys, but, you know,
they're hard on themselves, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have to be to play in this program in that position. But it's just the fact that, we're starting to see him roll again. It's starting to look like a Bison offensive line, putting up Bison offensive line type numbers. And they've been doing it for multiple weeks in a row now. So, like I've said the entire year, this program is built on peaking in January, and they're finally climbing that hill.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, you know, I've been really trumpeting Cam Miller. I didn't think he was very good.
No,
And honestly, ultimately, like, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
He had a touchdown. That was a little fullback release, Juszczyk play to Lipke, something that I had, like, tagged Tyler and been like, hey,
please,
this is sick, and you should run it.
Please.
And it came out, and I'm not taking credit for that. I'm sure he would have found it, or it was something that they already had schemed, whatever. This isn't about me. Cam, throw it to the back pylon. He just missed that throw, and Hunter had his man beat, and that was a touchdown. And the Babich thing that ended up being a pick, he's 6'6".
Right. Go make a play.
Give him the opportunity.
Right, right.
You know, you got a 6'1 linebacker making an interception on a post route to a 6'6 tight end. You have made the mistake, not your tight end.
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, like, you got a horse like that, put it where only he can get it.
Right.
It's either an overthrow or a touchdown to Babich.
And it wasn't terrible. He just, and the other thing is, man, he scored 3 touchdowns on the ground, plus, you know, was effective in that way. And when you're not in any kind of a rhythm, C-dub, no C-dub, whatever.
Yeah.
When you're handing off constantly, it's really hard to get in a rhythm throwing the ball, and they didn't need him to throw the ball.
Yeah.
So I think you just junk that one and move on.
I mean, even the quarterback on the other side had 33 pass attempts. Cam only threw 14. So, I mean, that can be part of it.
Right.
And it's cool to see, like, it almost happens organically. It's less of, like, hey, Cam's playing bad when you're in the huddle as an offensive lineman. You're like, hey, we need to pick up the slack a little bit. yeah, we'll run it for 400 yards.
Right, so, and not only that, but he was good when he needed to be good. Right. I think at one point he was 8 for 9 and then finished like 9 of 14 because at the end it just didn't matter anymore. Sure.
Yeah, and I think a big part of it too is just if it's not your day, just be a game manager. Don't hurt the team. You just got to get out of it and reset for the next week because we're starting to get to the points where, you know, you can't have that excuse where quarterback play is going to detriment the team. You need to be on your game for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. I thought the backs looked awesome. Tamarick was great.
Buy me a Tamarick jersey, man.
Yeah. You know, sucks to see Dom still in a boot. That was a little bit disappointing, seeing him on the sideline in a boot after this much time to recover. It's not saying he's weak or... like
ankles are tough,
I'm not saying anything about his toughness at all. It just is unfortunate that the rehab is going at that pace. You hope to get him back at some point, but if you don't, 22 looks like he's locked in.
Dude is a freak show, and he legitimately had points where it looked like a man amongst boys out there, and it's cool to have that like big, like, enforcing power back again.
Yeah, look, Kobe and Bussy are fun.
Yeah.
Tamarick defines the program.
Yeah, I mean, it really is that Thunder-Lightning matchup.
Yep. Linebackers were interesting. I thought putting Wiz at the Sam role in the slot was cool. You know, he didn't play a ton of man, didn't go on those slot fade releases with some of these better players that Southern Illinois has at the wide receiver position. I think, you know, they stuck with a lot of quarters, stuck with some very simple calls, and it worked great, man. I thought they were excellent. Thought this was one of the better games I've seen from young Jim Hankey in a while. Yeah. A nice pass breakup on fourth down. And, man, Kays, I'm very pleased, and I would guess that this is the similar approach that they're taking with Ganella. Very pleased that they waited and stopped throwing him out there to look like not himself and to continue to get re-injured. They finally just shut it down and said, you come back when you're James Kaiser.
Yeah, and I it's great when the coaching staff puts that trust in you. You know, get healthy, come back when you're ready. I'm always down for more Wisniewski on the field. So wherever it comes, play him at safety. I don't care. Let's see the guy on the field.
We kind of got into the Gindorf loss. We'll skip over that. I think we have a decent understanding of how that'll happen. Plus, we can get into a little bit on the preview. B-Tom.
Just week in, week out,
man. Unbelievable, man. You lose a guy like Wagey and have somebody like him. And that's honestly, too, something that I'm going to ask flat out at the December 15th signing day press conference. I'm going to ask what's on Matt's shopping list. After signing day, they added Quincy Patterson, Tamarick Williams, Braden Thomas, Michael Buto, and Luke LaSalento, and I'm probably even forgetting the tight end kid from Wisconsin.
Yes, Gabe Lloyd.
Gabe Lloyd. They added all of those. Vines.
Yeah, Drod Vines. Yep.
So, what's on your list? You know, do you have a shopping list? Because it's really hard to disagree with it's really hard to look down your nose at the portal contributions. Who's not? I mean, besides Gabe Lloyd, who it's probably not his fault. Who's not making a contribution?
Right, exactly. And that's a huge aspect because kids are in the transfer portal because they want to play and they want to play somewhere where they can win.
Yeah.
And it's a huge thing to have in your back pocket to walk up to a kid that's transferring and say, we don't talk to everybody who's in the transfer portal. We handpicked you. We think you can come here and make a contribution. And they're proving it with the guys who are playing on Saturday.
Cornerback group, thought this was the best I've seen Jaden Price play defensively. Thought he was excellent. Ultimately, I thought they did really well. No disrespect to Dawson Weber. Like, your safety, you shouldn't be asked to cover Landon Lenore all the way across the field. That's a 4th and 1. We're in heavy purse.
Right.
Landon Lenore is going to run away from a lot of people. That's not on Dawson. Plus, that was a perfect ball. So, that what I'm saying is, like, your big play through the air was actually on a safety.
Right, and
who was put in a trash position.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if that's the one you're going to give up, then that's the one you're going to give up. So, yeah, just reset.
By the way, they named Marquise Siegel corner of the week because of what he did in the fourth quarter. He made like 4 plays in a row.
Dog.
Play Marquise Siegel. And the last thing, I just thought the offense looked really good without Christian. I think you've seen so many games where getting him the ball in space, deep shots to him, so much of him is the offense that I think you could have rightfully been nervous without him available. Flying colors. Shout out Tyler Roll.
Yeah, I think that eases a lot of nerves and the fact that we can win without bits and pieces. You know, the sum is always greater than its equal parts. So it's good to see that we can survive without losing Christian.
All right, folks. Want to thank Zach for his time. Want to thank the Big Deck Barbecue Company for being the title sponsor of the show. Want to thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, hit us with that 5-star review on Apple's, iTunes, whatever you get this podcast on. Have a phenomenal week, everybody, and go Bison.